Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruity plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Every 4 years, we freak out. It's almost like you can put it on the calendar and know that it's going to happen. Because every 4 years, you see commercials and you see ads and you watch debates and you listen to the polls and you listen to the platforms and you process through everything. And depending upon which side of the political aisle you would call yourself or categorize yourself will depend upon the type of things that are your fodder, the fire, the catalyst that gets you going and gets you revved up and all excited. Unfortunately, every 4 years, the process continues to repeat itself. Every time, every 4 years, this election is the most important. This one's the one that's going to define the shape of our culture. I remember when I was a kid, they were saying the same things about that election than they were this one. It's a never-ending cycle of doomsday. Everything's going to fall apart. Everything's going to be bad. The government's going to do this. The government's going to do that. And it gets so bad that neighbors refuse to talk to each other. That while you're driving, especially as it gets closer, while you're driving, if you're driving behind someone that has a bumper sticker that is different than the bumper sticker that you would put on your car, and I'm not immune to this, I will not lie to you. There are times I went, man, I just want to put it in drive and go as fast as I can right in the back of the bumper, hoping that bumper sticker will fall off. There's just something within us that, man, it gets us all riled up and we get so emotional and we get so tied into it. And sometimes family members get distant from each other. If the best way to say it, they cause problems. And all these things happen because we believe that if our candidate, whoever that may be, that if our candidate becomes the president, they will set everything right. They will put all the pieces back together. They will make it happen. They will either enact or repeal. They will either do all of this. And here's the thing. Here's when it gets really bad. If our candidate loses, we are depressed for months on it. We are overwhelmed. We have a sense of hopelessness. We see January, the inauguration day, as doomsday. It's all over then. You better buy your gold now, because if you don't buy your gold now, I mean, if you listen to the radio, that's the thing. You know, buy your gold, because the economy is going to go either up or down. It's going to do that anyways, by the way, just in case you're wondering. That's what it does. As I've thought about it, as we begin this series, first of all, just very clearly, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I believe that God's given you a brain. I'm going to give you some information over the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk through some things. Everything's going to be focused and based in what the Word of God teaches, not on opinion, because everybody has an opinion. And we're not going to talk about that. Opinions are not what we're going to talk about here. We don't have time to mess around with things that will not change people's lives for eternity. We're going to talk about the things that change people's lives for eternity. So you vote for who you want to vote for. We're going to work through some things over the next couple weeks, but today I want to begin with the most important point, because if we look at this and we ask the question, why do we get so riled up? Why do we get so stressed out? In fact, some of you may right now be on antidepressants that you had to start taking back in September because you're like, I just can't deal with this anymore. You know, I need some anxiety pills. I need something because it's just like, it's going to happen. And you look at the polls every day. You know, Real Clear Politics is your first tab that you click every morning. Oh, no. And you live and die by them. Do you know what we're doing? We have literally placed government in the role of God. We have literally said to ourselves, whoever is in the Oval Office will determine what happens in my personal life. Whoever is in charge, whoever is running things, whether their actions or inactions, whether they make laws or they repeal laws, whether they bring or do this, those people who make these decisions are going to determine, now listen to this very carefully, whether or not I receive or God's blessing is removed from my life. We literally have placed government and the people who are involved in government in this position to where we're looking at them and we're going, they're going to determine whether or not I get God's blessing. Now, we wouldn't say that because we say that and it goes, that sounds really stupid. Why would we say it? But that's how we act. That's how we talk. That's the level of animosity that we put at that. If someone disagrees with us, we're like, you're the devil. You know it, because you are going to tax me more. Do you know that government cannot tax the blessing of God? Well, if your guy gets in, though, you know what? He's going to remove all the stuff. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. You know what? God's blessing cannot be removed by any person. God's blessing cannot be enhanced by any person either. Well, if our person gets in, then we're going to get this, we're going to get this, we're going to get this, and it's going to be this candy jar of happiness that we're all going to get. It's going to be wonderful. It doesn't work that way, because the blessings of God are in no way, shape, or form connected to who sits in the Oval Office. Not in any way, shape, or form. The person, whoever it may be, who signs laws into being, the government that happens, doesn't. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I know some of you are going, see, there you go. And, you know, we as Christians are supposed to be completely removed. We're going to talk about that later. That's a lie. And quite frankly, according to the Word of God, your duty is to be involved. And if you are not involved, and if you sit at home, then you know what? You are not doing what God's called you to do, period. So you need to be involved. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying sit in your little Christian closet and talk about everyone that's not like you, okay? That's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to be involved and engaged. But here's the problem. For far too long, the people who call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior have looked at government and they have said that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, but they've looked at government as their Lord and Savior. Government's going to get me out of this mess. Government's going to help me get better. Government's going to change this world. Government's going to do this. No, it won't. It can't. It never has. In fact, more often than not, the more times that government is involved, the worse things get. You don't believe that? We, as Friendship Church, had the incredible privilege given to us by the city of Greenwood of rebuilding Emerson Road. Yes, they were so gracious to us to allow us to rebuild that, working with Arbor Homes across the street because we wanted a building permit, and they said, well, we'll give you one as long as you rebuild the road. So we, as Friendship Church and Arbor Homes, we rebuilt Emerson Road. It took us all of 2.5 months to do it. It took the government almost 3 years to rebuild Sheik Road. Just put that together in your brain, okay? That's the way it works. So not only from a real sense of things, we look at that, but then from a biblical sense of things, here's the thing. Government, in fact, even the way that our government is set up, it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people, right? That's the way our political system is supposed to be set up. Here's the problem. It's dependent on people. You ever met a perfect person? You go, no, I thought somebody was, and then they ran for political office and I found out about them. People are just people. But God is always God. People are just people. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you say, people are just people. They're never going to be anything but people. People are flawed. People are frail. People make mistakes. People mess up. People do the wrong thing. People are greedy. People are selfish. People do things and they get offices and they get power and they get money and they don't do things and they don't get power and they don't get that. And they do it all. Why? Because that's what they want to do. Even the best of us mess up. Even the best of us make mistakes. Even the best of us are flawed. I find it amazing as we're in the midst of the baseball playoffs, those of you that you know don't follow baseball, it's actually happening. But a hitter in baseball is considered amazing if he can hit the ball one-third of the time. Think about that. That is our threshold. If we can get it right 30% of the time, it's going to be awesome. Because people are just people. But God is always God. As I got working through this, there's a passage of scripture that we're just going to read through this entire chapter today, Psalm 146. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can follow along on your notes. But I believe that this sets it up perfectly for not only this series, but this particular time of year for us as we begin to look at these things, to get things in a right perspective and a right attitude. And the writer begins the first couple of verses with talking to us about the type of attitude that we need to have. Because oftentimes when we look at things, depending upon the attitude, the perspective, the colored glasses, if you will, that we have, will determine how we see what's going on around us. Some of you may look at the polls and you may freak out and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. Others of you may say the same thing but in a different way. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. It's all based upon your perspective. It's all based upon your attitude. It's all based upon how you see it. And in Psalm 146, the writer whose name is David, he was a king of Israel, actually tells us the type of attitude that we are supposed to have. And here's what he says, praise the Lord. If you want to have the right attitude, it begins by praising the Lord. Now, praise simply means that you are thankful, you remember what's happened, you talk about God as the way that He is. God, you are in control. God, you are on the throne. God, you have all things under control. God, I know that you have my best interest at heart. You have your glory, your passion. I know that I'm your child. I know that I'm a kingdom of heaven, a child, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I know these things, God. I praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Do you know that whatever the situation that you are currently facing, even if it has nothing to do with politics, if you will stop, and I've learned this personally, especially over the last 18 months, if you will stop, and instead of looking at everything that's wrong, you will start looking at the God who is always right, it changes how you see things. It changes how you feel about them. It changes how you react to them. It allows you to take a deep breath and go, okay, God is still in control. It may not feel like it. It may not even look like it. But if Scripture is true, then God is still in control. So, praise the Lord. He continues. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I love this. Let all that I am, everything that I am, all that I have, all my being, everything else, I want everything within me to praise the Lord. Let it loose. Turn it loose. I want to praise God with everything that I have. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. If we had this perspective during the political season, do you know how much happier we would be? You know, I mean, we'd just be like, this is okay. This is not what I wanted it to be, but you know what? God's still in control. God's still the one that's going to make it happen. God's still, my blessings are not either retracted nor enhanced by what's going on there. I'm believing that God's best is I'm going to be informed. I'm going to be intelligent. I'm going to be participating. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be influential. However, at the same time, my life is not dependent upon, and the blessings of God that God wants to give me are not dependent upon who sits in the Oval Office. So I'm going to keep praising God. Now, here's another thing I think is important as he goes on in verses 3 and 4. He makes it very clear why we should never depend on people. He says this, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Now, that's a pretty pointed statement, isn't it? In fact, you can't look at that and go, well, let's parse the verbs because I think, no, he's making it very clear. Do not put your hope in powerful people because there is no help for you there. If you have all your hopes and dreams placed on a person who was frail and flawed to step into some Oval Office built by people who were failed, flawed, whatever. If you have it placed in them to run a system that was created by people, think about all that. Even if the person in the office is perfect, he's trying to run a system that was created by flawed people. It's all dependent on people. So don't put your hope in powerful people, because there is no help for you there. He continues, when they breathed their last, they returned to the earth, and all of their plans die with them. You go, well, you don't understand. They've got plans. They've got legacies. They've got things. Can you name the 17th president of the United States? I can't. So you're going, Google 17th president of the United States. Now, I'm sure that when whoever that was, I should have looked it up before I said that, but whoever that was, they were very popular. They were very famous. They probably came up with unbelievable reforms. They were going to change this, and they were going to do that. Everybody knew who they were. They couldn't walk down the street without somebody buying them a lunch or an ale or something like that, because, man, they were just the cat's meow. They were the great thing. You know what? They're dead. You can't even remember who they are, because people's plans die with them, and they die because people are just people, but God is always God. So this morning, what we're going to do is, I'm going to see if I can say this without getting my tongue twisted, because we're going to look at God's 7-part platform for panicked people. You like that? Okay. Now I don't normally do that, but I thought, you know, we needed a little humor this morning. So God's 7-part platform for panicked people. Tweet that. That'll be great, okay? And what David does is he does the rest of the chapter. He talks about, hey, listen, you know what? People are just people, but God is always God. People are going to fail. People are going to fall. Their plans aren't going to succeed. They're not going to last after they die. When they breathe their last, their plans are going to die with them. But let me tell you something. God is God, and here is God's platform to get your vote. Psalm 146, verses 5 through 10. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord, their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and the widows, but he frustrates the plan of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. You see, people are just people, but God will always be God. And what I want to do is I want to just walk through 7 things that David specifically describes in Psalm 146 that God is intent on doing, that God is desirous to do, and that whether or not God fulfills that promise in this life or in the next or both, which I believe that that is actually the reality, we can recognize the fact that God will always be God. And because God is always God, everything he says is true. The Bible puts it this way: when God speaks, it is yes and amen. It's done. It's a foregone conclusion that it will be reality. And because God is eternal, just like a human being is not eternal, their plan isn't. Since God is eternal, his plan is. It will never fade. It will never falter. It will always be there. So here's my challenge to you as we go through these things. As we go through these things, shift the energy. I don't know how many of you are involved, how many of you aren't. I try to stay off Facebook this time of year as much as possible. But I know some of you have expended an unbelievable amount of energy on something that doesn't matter in the scope of eternity. If we would spend even a fraction of the energy and the time and the effort that we spend every 4 years on political elections to grow ourselves deeper in the knowledge, the understanding, and our relationship with God, every 4 years, the Church of Jesus Christ would take a warp, jump, leap ahead. But yet we expend so much energy on something that will make this much difference in eternity. And yet, we spend all this energy on something that will make zero difference. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Let's walk through these things. And instead of being freaked out or being excited by some party's political platform, let's be excited about what God's desire is to do. The first thing is this. The first part of God's political platform, if you will, for panicked people, is that He will keep every promise. He will keep every promise. God says, David says literally, He will keep every promise forever. It's not just for your term. You ever notice, I always chuckle when somebody becomes president and they're like, listen, we're going to come up with this great plan. It's going to be awesome. You know, it's about taxes. It's about health care. It's about, you know, reimbursement of something. It's about child care. It's about this, whatever. It's going to be an awesome plan. And 9 years from now, you're going to see the full fruition of this plan come to reality. Presidential term is 4 years. It can be followed up by another 4 years. It's 8 years. So by the time he's out of office, you're going to see it happen. It never happens. Because they don't keep their promises. Why? Because they're people. Something happens, they work with other people. They can't get it through the way that they want to. It just happens because people are just people. But God is always God, and God always keeps His promises. If you've never done a study on the promises of God that are written throughout the pages of the Word of God, I challenge you to do that, because that will give you so much encouragement as you begin to realize the promises of God. He will always be with you. He will always watch over you. He will never leave you. He will walk you through the darkest of valleys, but He will walk it through you. He will give you blessing upon blessing. If you put Him first, and you put your time and your energy, your talent, your income, everything first in front of God, God will give you blessing that you cannot even count. The promises of God are overwhelming to each and every one of us, and the Bible says that He will keep every single one of them. Not only does He keep every promise, but He will right every wrong. David says He will give justice to the oppressed. He will give justice to the oppressed. You know, our world, there is a lot of oppression. Some of it is real, some of it is imagined. I always chuckle when I watch some of these stories that people are talking about how they're oppressed or they're, you know, whatever, and then it comes to find out that they went in and they were just being a jerk, and so they got kicked out like, oh, you did that because I'm X. No, it's because you're a jerk. Stop being a jerk. You know what? God sees things for the way that they are. You may not fit a demographic that people would say, oh, you're an oppressed demographic, but maybe you're oppressed in different ways. Maybe the things that you struggle with are not things that people in the political scheme talk about or care about, but God says that He will find justice for you. That it will not go unnoticed, and He will not miss it, and He will bring about justice, because God cares about the oppressed, and He will right every wrong. He will keep every promise. He will right every wrong. He will feed every soul. I love the fact that David says, listen, God will feed the hungry. God will feed the hungry. I'm amazed every year that this comes up. You know, it talks about those that are hungry and the poor and all these different things, and it goes on and on and on, and the political, you know, people are wrestling over who cares about the poor more. Yet every year and every political cycle, the poor are still there. We live in a country that has more blessing than any country on the face of the planet has ever seen, yet somehow we can't take care of a problem that is really, really simple in nature. Do you know that if you go back 100 years in our history, when the only people that cared about the poor or those that were hungry were people who loved Jesus Christ, that the poor and the hungry seemed to always be fed? And then the government got involved. And now we seem to have problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. You see, part of the thing that God has promised that he would do is that he would take care of the poor, the oppressed, and the hungry. And God said, listen, in my economy, in the way that I see things and the promises that I make, those who are poor will always find food. And he's not just talking about the poor of stomach or the hungry of stomach. He's talking about those who are spiritually, emotionally, mentally starving. He says he will feed every soul. He will keep every promise. He will right every wrong. He will feed every soul. He will free every captive. He says that he will release the prisoners. Those who have usually, a person in prison is usually there for a reason, right? They've done something wrong. And God says, listen, I will free them. I'm not just going to release them because I'm going to release them. I'm going to release them and I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to change who they are. If they put their faith in me, I will change them from the inside out and I will redeem them and I will make them valuable. I will make them profitable. I will make them someone who you can look to and you can work with because he sets the captives free. Because oftentimes the reason that people go to prison is because they are held captive within themselves because of the choices that were made beforehand. And God says, I will set them free. Sometimes the worst prison that people are in has nothing to do with steel and bars or jails. It has to do with the prison that they have within themselves. And God said, I will set every captive free. He will keep every promise. He will right every wrong. He will feed every soul. He will free every captive. He will heal every hurt. You talk about health care, that's health care right there. God said, I will heal the blind. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, everywhere he went, he's like healing blind people and crippled people and raising the dead back to life. Now that's an impressive thing that our healthcare system hasn't figured out yet. He's got it all figured out. It says, listen, I will heal every hurt. Do you know what? Sometimes we take all sorts of medication for hurt that medication was never made to fix. God says, I can heal that hurt too. I can heal the hurt that can't be seen in an x-ray or a CAT scan. I can heal the hurt that no one else even knows about. And because he's God, we know that he keeps every promise. We know that he will right every wrong. We know that he will free every captive and heal every hurt. He will lift every heart. David says, listen, the Lord lifts those up who are weighed down. I think this is incredibly important for many of us right now because we're walking through life and we are weighed down. If we could picture the emotional, mental anguish that a lot of us are going through on a regular basis, it would look like we're carrying a massive load of bricks tied to a huge ball and chain, wet, you know, dragging behind us as we're trying to take steps through life because we are so weighed down by the worries and the cares and the fears and the relationships that aren't the way that they're supposed to be and the problems that aren't the way that are continuing to add up on us, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We feel like we're walking through quicksand. We can't move forward. God says, I want to lift you up. I want to take the weight off of your shoulders. This is not compassionate conservatism. This is divine intervention. And God desires to take the weight off of your shoulders, to take it upon his shoulders, and to walk with you through this because he wants to lift every soul. He wants to lift every heart. He will keep every promise. He will right every wrong. He will feed every soul. He will free every captive. He will heal every hurt. He will lift every heart. And he will love, protect, care, and defend everyone who calls him Lord. He will love, protect, care, and defend everyone who calls him Lord. David wraps it up this way. The Lord loves the God. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and the widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. He will love. He will protect. He will care. And he will defend everyone who calls him Lord. That last word, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, refers to Yahweh. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And if you accept Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that all these things, the seven-point platform for panicked people, become reality for you. You know, instead of allowing this political season to erode your trust in fellow man, use this time to deepen your faith in God. Again, it doesn't mean that you run to your Christian closet and sanctimoniously sit in your spiritual corner and decry that everyone that doesn't believe like you is going to hell. That's not what it means. What it means is you get involved, you get informed, you become influential, but at the same time you realize that no matter what happens, it doesn't change a single thing in your standing before God. It doesn't change a single point of his platform, and it certainly doesn't matter who does what, because the blessing of God that God has for you cannot be either removed or enhanced by any person, because people are just people. But God is always God. And if God is still in control, and God is still on the throne, and you are still his child, then it doesn't matter a hill of beans who's sitting in the Oval Office, because your eternity is secure. Father, we thank you so much. We are blessed that you would call us your children. And God, I know as human beings, we can get really wrapped up in all of this. It can cause us to be freaked out. It can cause us to get depressed and panicked and all these things. But God, never let us forget that no matter what happens, you're still God. Your promises are still secure. Your blessings are still guaranteed. And nothing that any man, woman, person, whatever can do can ever change that. God, as Americans, we have been spoiled. We have been spoiled with a system that has allowed us to practice our freedom, our faith freely. But God, there are millions of followers of Jesus Christ in a political system where they have no voice, yet they still receive the blessings of God. So God, don't let us be people who ignore what you've called us to do. Don't let us sit back and feel spiritually sanctimonious and just go, well, whatever happens, happens. No, God, we need to be involved. We need to be informed. We need to be doing what you've called us to do. But God, don't let us put our hope in that. Don't let us put our hope in someone who is just as messed up as us. But God, let our hope, let our faith be founded in who you are and the promises that you give. Let the panic fade away and let our faith replace it, knowing you've got it all covered. And Father, we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.